Good morning, church family. Everybody alive and well this morning? Amen. I'm really thankful this morning for this opportunity to come and share with you this morning the trip that Leanne and I took to the celebration that's called Kumva Rwanda in the tiny little country of Rwanda in the central portion of the continent of Africa. I had a few cups of coffee this morning. I had sugar frosted flakes. I had a double shot of sublingual B12. And I had days of Elijah. How long are you people ready to stay? I don't know. We won't be here too long. I got to start with a couple of things. And I've got to thank this church, first of all, for being a kind of a church family that is willing to undertake mission. This church embraces mission in this community and over the world. And I'm so thankful to be a part of a church family that wants to do that. Secondly, I got to thank our shepherds so very much, especially Jeff Ogletree, for being so supportive of me and Leanne and encouraging us, and you guys' prayers and encouragements to us before and after we got back were really, really, really important. I just got to thank you for that. I meant so much to us while we were gone, before we left. Thank you very much. Very, very much from the bottom of my heart. And to all those, since we're going around the world, live around the world right now, and I'm hopeful that Brother Charles is watching right now. Hello, Brother Charles. Hello, Brother Heath in Rwanda. To all the staff and people that are involved with Africa Transformation Network that might be watching right now, this very second, across the continent, world, I thank you for your time and for your preparation for us to come and to be with you. It was amazing, amazing. So I want for you to open your Bibles this morning, and we're going to start with a passage of Scripture. This earpiece is driving me nuts already. In Colossians chapter 1, please. We're going to begin and end with this passage of Scripture. And last week, as I sat in the pew, and James opened his lesson with this very same passage of Scripture, and I was sitting there thinking, what a beautiful passage of Scripture this is to introduce my lesson next week. And it's talk about Rwanda. So, let's read it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. At one time, you were far away from God and were His enemies because of the evil things you thought and did. But now, by means of the physical death of His Son, God has made you His friends in order to bring you holy, pure, faultless into His presence. It's an amazing passage of Scripture about reclaiming our lives when we were enemies. Enemies of God. And He reclaimed us and bought us back through the death of His Son and restored us to be in His presence. I love that. There couldn't be a better passage of Scripture to describe what is going on in the country of Rwanda. You know, in 2010, this church family began supporting Marty Kuntz as an American missionary in Rwanda. And when Marty came here the first couple of times and he talked about the forward-thinking ministry that was what he was involved with, how he left the country of Togo and left and went to Rwanda, he didn't have a clue how God was going to use him. But Marty's extra. Marty is overflowing with talents and abilities. And our missionary that we've supported since 2010 began to listen to God and undertake a role that was very untraditional in the missionary world. And this church family supported him in that and loved him in that. And he took his talents in athletics, in organization, and in leadership, and began to develop a program in Rwanda to reclaim, to redeem, all the words that we sung about this morning, redeeming and reclaiming and hope in people's lives that had been shattered. And he used his talents and abilities, the talents and abilities he had, to develop a program in Rwanda centered around Taekwondo. I don't read about Taekwondo in the Bible. Willie, you ever read Taekwondo in the Bible? Glenn? Polly Pat, you ever seen Taekwondo in the Bible? You haven't seen it. But you see, God used the talents that Marty had. He told me while we were there, I didn't have a clue God was going to take this and go this direction. And God used his talents that he had for athletics and for leadership and the power of organization to take a bunch of young men that didn't really have a direction in their life and young women and help them to come to know God through it's incredible to see how God used those talents. And when Marty would come here and talk about that, I'm sure some of our eyes were kind of, what? Our ears were kind of, huh? And it's just amazing to watch how God used Marty's talents and abilities to bring him to a position of leadership in Rwanda. How he took these people into his heart and his mind and began to teach him about Jesus and about God. And how he used that to bring honor and glory to God in the country of Rwanda. And that was amazing. Then it all got real, real, real personal when Charles Cabeza walked into my living room. Marty called me one day and he said, Kent, I need a favor. I have this young man who's a part of our ministry, who is executive director of our ministry, that needs a place to stay for a few days. He's a living, breathing survivor of the Rwandan genocide. Charles Cabeza. He sat down on my love seat in my living room. Leanne and I peppered him with questions way late into the night about his life. I can't tell you how much he's changed my life. Thank you, Charles. Charles' story is familiar to some of you, but others of you may not have heard Charles' story before. Charles was a young boy, some of your age, when people came to his house to murder him. To murder him. And they killed a bunch of his brothers and sisters. And Charles ran with a few of his siblings for his life. He was your age. I want you to wrap your mind around that for a minute. He grabbed brothers and sisters and they ran for their lives. They chased Charles and many, many others. And Charles ended up 1 mile away from freedom. And he found himself in a forested region of Rwanda, which is many. But he was surrounded by the enemy that were his own countrymen coming to kill him. And he was 1 mile away from freedom. They surrounded him. He escaped one more time. He made his way to a warehouse where he was discovered again. And he escaped again. I don't know about you. I believe with all my heart that God had a plan for this young boy's life. This young boy, just like you. Just like you. Just like me. And God had a plan to use Charles Cabeza in an amazing way, and he rescued him time after time after time from the machetes of those that would come and kill him. I still can't. I can't imagine me being a young boy and that happening in my life. Charles was rescued finally by some sympathetic people and helped. And in 2007, God encouraged Charles to found Extra Mile Ministries. He used that 1 mile that he almost made it to freedom to call something the Extra Mile. If he'd have just made it one more mile, he'd have made it to freedom. But instead, to remind himself of that 1 mile, that extra mile that he didn't make, he began to work with young people in his country that were orphans of the genocide in 1994 to help them be reclaimed and redeemed and give them hope. And so all of those things that I've just told you are why this church family supports Charles. Why this church family supports Marty. But you see, it's not a complete picture. Because Leanne and I traveled 6,000 miles and 30 hours of flying and layover times to get there to see, as you charged us to do as members of this church family, to find out more about this work. And when I got there, I saw people that were loving God in amazing ways, that was serving God in unbelievable ways, and that with all their hearts, they wanted to make disciples. Does any of that sound familiar to you? So you mean I traveled 6,000 miles to find people that were wanting to do the same thing we're wanting to do? That we want to love God, we want to serve others, and we want to make disciples. And I traveled there and I found people that were, wow, they were at it. It was amazing. Every time I turned around, they handed me this book, and it said, "Love God, serve others, make disciples." It was like, God was like, "Wow, you've come a long ways to discover this, bro. Come on." And so we did. And it was an amazing, and I wanted to encourage you to remember these brothers and sisters in your prayers, to know that they're on the same page with us, though they're the world around us, halfway around the world from us. And they want to do the same exact things we are. Same exact things we are. Greg, our first slide today. Kumbu Rwanda. Hear what Rwanda is doing. I'm going to start off with a few slides that are challenging and difficult. As Chris mentioned, in 1994, for those of you that don't remember or were not even alive then, there was what we call a genocide in the country of Rwanda. Neighbors attacked neighbors because of social, economic status. And it had been building, it had been festering. And in April of 1994, a portion of the people of Rwanda, in their darkest hour, aided by the government, attacked and killed over 1 million of their own people in 100 days. Those are numbers. Here's how I relate to it. What if the entire population of the Oklahoma City metro area, Edmond, Moore, looked like? A 100 days. You do the math. And this was neighbors killing neighbors. It's beyond imagination. It's beyond imagination. So, around their country, we see that they have chosen to spend 100 days per year in remembrance of this time in their country's history. So from April the 1st or so to about now, they spend 100 days every year remembering the time of the genocide in their lives. They've erected this Kigali Memorial Center in the heart of Kigali to remind them. They have constructed 2 more of these centers. They're in the process of constructing 2 more centers in the country to use to remind them during the time of memorial each year what they've been through and where they're going. One of the sites that we saw that's under construction for a memorial center is the site of a former church. This church during the 1994 Rwanda genocide took in 5,000 people and harbored them in their basement, kept them there for safekeeping. Only when the pressure came upon them, they turned their backs on those 5,000 people and they were slaughtered in the basement of that church. Think about that for a little bit. They're erecting a memorial over that spot to remind them of that as well. This place was was an amazing place to go through. Not amazing from a good standpoint, but amazing standpoint of what happened to these people in 100 days. The room that got me the most was a room that was full of pictures of young children. Faces of young children with a story about their lives. It might have been the only picture they have of their childhood left. One particular picture was of a boy by the name of David, who had that kind of a picture. Have you ever been to a studio of art? It seems like the eyes in a picture look at you everywhere you go. Had that experience. This boy's eyes seemed like they chased me around the room. Maybe it's because I have a son by the name of David. Maybe it's because I can imagine him not having any family left. It was a challenging experience for me and for Leanne as well. This picture doesn't show up all that great on there other than the big cowboy in the front of Leanne there. And that's, you know, you got your cowboys here that'll love that picture. The little tiny sign to her right, people. Try that one on. This is the remembrance wall. Remind you that we were there during the period of remembrance. We will never forget you. Never again. Sound familiar to any Oklahomans here? We've got a wall like that. We've got a place like that. I've stood there a whole bunch of times. It just made me think of that same wall, only magnified a jillion times over here. And it made me realize how powerful Satan is to cause the hearts of men to want to do this to one another. It's just unbelievable. But what this slide says so much to me, and where we want to go with the rest of what we're going to do this morning, is to encourage us that these people and the missionaries that we have there believe with all their heart that God is working amazing things in the lives of the people of Rwanda, and never again will they go down this road. Never again. And it's really, really powerful for them to believe this. And we say that, and it's on our memorial wall again many times. This is the city of Kigali. The name of the country of Rwanda means the land of 1,000 hills. It's a very hilly country. And this is the downtown area, the city of Kigali, built on top of a hill. Then down in the valleys between the hills is a forested area. All over the country it's this way. They build their cities on the top of a hill. Down in the valley is a forested and agricultural area. About 80% of the people in the country of Rwanda are agriculturally related. So they grow bananas, they grow beans, they grow crops down in these valleys and have the cities on the tops of the hill. This is the memorial flame resurrected over the burial site of these 250,000 people. Here's Marty Kuntz, our missionary that we've supported since 2010. Marty took us there, and he said, this place is going to get you, man. He was right. Great. All right. We made it through that part. We ready to get up a little bit here now and go a little bit forward and hear something a little bit better now. But you see, the thing about it is, when I asked Charles when we were there, Charles, how often do you think about the genocide in your mind? And he said, every day. I couldn't. couldn't get up here and not talk about the genocide and just talk about the happy things that are going on in Rwanda. But there's some exciting stuff going on there. This is the Kigali International Christian School. Marty's wife, Louise, is a great artist, and she teaches art and graphic design at Kigali International Christian School. This school was founded by two congregations in Oklahoma City. And so we have another tie to these people that brethren from our very own state started this school. I love some of the phrases that they have on their school banners. Wisdom beyond scholarship. I got to turn and read these. Character before career. Wisdom beyond scholarship, service above self, participation over apathy, and all of it's for Jesus. Very positive messages. You know, I travel 6,000 miles, and as a Oklahoma City Thunder fan, I can't get away from it. I'm standing on this basketball court underneath this goal with Marty, and he says, Kent, these basketball goals were donated by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Who knew? I mean, that's crazy. I'm a long ways from home, and they still, yeah, over my shoulder, okay? So, yeah, it's just, it's nuts. So we have a school by Oklahoma people. We have basketball goals by Oklahoma people. It's incredible how this world is a tiny little place. Took us a long time to get there, but it's a little tiny place. Domus Passus, I showed this slide a few weeks ago, and I told you it was a place of peace, a place where we gathered every morning to have worship. This is Brother Heath Amos and his wife, American missionaries that have been there a number of years, part of the team that originally started this work in Rwanda, and part of that team, and that's Heath and his wife. Beautiful place. I had to put this slide in for our, is Courtney not here this morning? For our agricultural people this morning and our horticultural people, that is a poinsettia plant. Hello. It's like 12 feet tall. How small I am next to the giant poinsettia. Next slide. So after worship in the morning, we spend our time studying together. And a big portion of their ministry is teaching people through disciple Bible studies. Discipleship Bible studies. And so we engaged in a discipleship Bible study. And that's Brother Charles Cabeza sitting on my right there. Next slide. That's Charles and his daughter that everybody calls Little Sister. I know her name, but it has escaped me right now, Leanne. Leecha? Okay. And everybody calls her Little Sister, so that's what I call her. That's Charles and Little Sister. Here we are. We spent massive amounts of prayer the 3 days we were there in Kuva, Rwanda. Tons and tons and tons of prayer. We had missionaries from all over the world, from all over Africa there. They said that in years past that this is twice as many people that ever came to Kuva, Rwanda before. And there were people there from all over the world. And it was an amazing place to listen to their stories. It was an amazing place for us to represent Lake Oma and to proclaim the beauty of worshiping with this church family. Extra Mile Ministries, founded in a community called Bugesera. It's just outside the city of Kigali. Charles picked this place because it's where he used to live near. And it's where a whole bunch of people that killed his own family live. Talk about intentional Christianity. Charles picked this place because these are people that they needed to come together with in amazing ways through the power of Jesus. That's incredible. It's amazing. So this sign served as their sign for a while, and Charles said, nobody can find us. We'd tell them, come to the extra mile sign. Nobody knew where it was. So, they built this eagle. And he said, now we just tell people to come to the eagle. And they can find us. I don't know whether you could tell what's in the eagle's mouth, but it's a grinder. A metal grinder. And this is a metal fabrication that we will see some here in a minute about. This is the campus of African Transformation Network, the place where Extra Mile Ministry is found. We have office buildings, we have classrooms, we have playgrounds, we have basketball goals, we have a house for the Peace House Boys. We'll talk more about that in a minute. We have a farm. It's an amazing place. The far backside of this place, they drilled a well for the people of the community to have fresh water. Here's one of the staff. I'm going to try to cut through some of these fast. Here's Charles. The opening night of Kumba Rwanda, Charles led us, and that's his right-hand man behind him, Charles Mapinda. And they led us in an amazing time of learning about ATN, about Extra Mile Ministry, about what's going on in Rwanda. We had great food. We had great music. We prayed a whole bunch. Really, the interesting thing was found in this slide right here. Don't you love those faces? I love those faces. Charles invited the community to be with us during Kumba Rwanda. Here's some of the boys from the street around them. The mayor of the town was there and proclaimed in great length how amazing ATN had been in their community. It's amazing. That's what we want. That's what we want for us. That's what they need. Next slide. Here's Marty doing a demonstration of Taekwondo. The exciting thing about what Marty's doing, Marty has less than a year to be in Rwanda. And we're going to continue to support him through that time, and hopefully we're going to continue to support him after he comes back home here next year. He's not sure where he's going to end up being, but we're going to be a part of that because he needs that support. And all of his children are grown now. The four boys are going to be in the States, and it served a great time for them to come home and to be with their family and to grow their family. This young man in the very middle of that, kicking way above his head, is the young man that Marty has discipled and brought to a leadership role in the country of Rwanda to be over the Taekwondo Federation. Here's the vocational skills ministry that's a part of ATN that constructed these candelabras and the eagle. They taught young men how to take a trade that Charles describes as being dishonest and not very well thought of in their country, this technical trade of being able to weld and construct things out of metal. Everybody's cheats, he said. Everybody lies. So Charles just takes God and said, I'm gonna teach these young men about what it means to be a servant of God and what it means to be honest. What it means to be right with people. So they're doing that. There's Charles with items that they're making in the deal. This particular chair, Charles had one of his little kids in the hospital. And when you have a child in the hospital in Rwanda, you're in the hospital. It's not the greatest care in the world. It's not Cassie taking care of you. It's nobody taking care of you. You're just in the hospital. So the family has to be there a whole bunch. Charles never could find a chair to take a nap in. So he had this chair designed to where hospitals in the country of Rwanda now are buying these chairs from this ministry to put into their hospitals so they'll have place for people to lay down and rest while they're there caring for their patients. And it's just a really interesting type of wisdom that I think Charles is blessed with. Next. More staff. More chairs. More tables. Peace House boys. Charles loves to help young people. These young boys have either been abandoned by their families or had no families and were living on the street. So this ministry takes these young boys in, provides for them housing, and teaches them about Jesus. It's an amazing deal. Next slide. Here we got a chance to meet some of them. Here's Leanne shaking a young man's hand. Look at this slide. Charles said we learned something from Peace House. When we first brought boys in, we put them up in luxurious conditions. We fed them the best food. We put them in nice, fancy beds. And he said, when it came time for them to go home, they didn't want to go home. So he said, now, we give them not very much stuff. We put them on a little skinny mattress on a metal bunk bed with a very minimal amount of stuff. Those are mosquito nets, by the way, hanging over them because malaria is quite a serious problem in Rwanda. And those are the malarial nets that they sleep under. Next slide. Oh, I could spend the rest of your day today talking about this next program, but I'm not going to do it. Leanne made me put this goofy-looking slide of me in here. They have a program called Farming God's Way. Wow. Farming God's Way. This is the leader of the community. He's also their preacher. Next slide. This is Leanne with her tribe. Next slide. I love this picture. Leanne and the kiddos. Okay. So Farming God's Way is a way that this ministry has taken and told people this is the best way to grow your crops. This village, it's called Kubunga, is a village outside of town that they've gone out to reach people and to let them know that if you grow your crops this way, you'll get a better harvest. And that this way is God's way. Because it uses everything that God gives you in the production of this crop. I love this lady. She has dignity. She has hope. She has, ooh, wow. That's John Peter. See what he's got under his arm? The B-I-B-L-E. Next slide. More slides of him talking about this. Here's a old crop of corn laid down on the ground to act as an insulator. You can't really tell from the to the right of that is some old other crops of sweet potatoes acting as insulation to use moisture in the soil the best way it can be used. And then the new little crop of sweet potatoes growing underneath all this stuff. It's been amazing how they've changed their lives by growing these crops in a new way. More. Man, we had a mountain. James talked about mountaintop experiences last week. We had a mountaintop worship experience in this coconut grove, in this banana grove. It was amazing. Here's this beautiful elderly woman. There's not very many elderly people in Rwanda. Ken Shackelford. Next week when I lead songs, we're going to sing a song that Ken Shackelford wrote. And here I was sitting in his presence. We got to sing it on the bus. It was awesome. Look at the faces of those young men looking at what he's doing. Reading scripture. Here's an elderly man from the village talking about his relationship with Jesus. It was powerful. More singing. More reading. More praising. I picked this picture in here, both these. Go to the next one, too. How do you like to carry your baby? Here's how they carried their babies. I love that picture. All right. I got too much. Peace House Ministries. Reclaiming prostitutes from the street, teaching them about Jesus. On the right, a young woman that is beyond description, smart, wise, beautiful, talented, doing it all for Jesus. On the left, a recovered prostitute from the streets of Kigali, Charlotte. Beautiful. And her sidekick, Deborah. Here are some of the women from Peace House that we were interacting with. Amazing singers. They teach them how to do jewelry, how to sew. Next picture. How to sew and how to make jewelry and how to make income-producing items. Next picture. Here's another discipleship Bible study. Boom. Here we are. Discipleship Bible studies. And back to Marty again. Our two missionaries there, Marty Kuntz and Charles Cabeza, are amazing individuals, and it was a great blessing to be with Marty. Welcome signs at his house, his dog Schnitzel, his live-in dog Winston, and Marty on his front porch. Singing, praising God, worshiping God on his front porch, and I snuck a picture of him doing it early in the morning one day. Charles, what more can I say about Charles? Charles is a leader of men and women in amazing ways. Charles's house. Charles's two children. Us putting a puzzle together. Charles living life. Charles, thank you. Greg, thank you this morning. Great job on the projector. At one time, you were far away from God, and you were his enemies because of the evil things you did and thought. But now, by means of the physical death of his son, God has made you his friends in order to bring you holy, pure, and faultless into his presence. This morning, if you're in the hearing of my voice this morning, and you know that you want to be in God's presence, and you've felt like an enemy of God before, through the blood of Jesus, we sang about it this morning, we had a great Lord's Supper about it this morning, you can have the forgiveness of your sins this morning by being washed in the water and cleansed like we've done the last two Sunday mornings. It's been an exciting time here at Lake Homa, and I thank you and I appreciate you for listening to me this morning. Won't you come as we stand and